I'm Christina Lindberg, and you are listening to Klockstreich 12. Yeah!
Good evening, boils and ghouls. It's time for another edition of Klockstreich 12.
We are live. Alright, welkom allemaal bij Klokstuk 12. We zijn hier op het Offscreen Film Festival, weer al 2024.
In Brussel.
In Brussel. And we have a very, very, very special guest with us. Anthony, can you give an introduction for our guest?
Yeah, obviously it's Christina Lindberg. Most of us will know her from, obviously, Thriller. They call her One Eye. I'm going to say welcome.
Thank
Christina,
you. Yeah,
thank you for joining our podcast, and let me start by introducing yourself.
Yeah, okay. As you said, my name is Christina Lindberg. I'm from Sweden, and I made a lot of movies in the beginning of the 1970s, mostly in Sweden, but they export all over the world, really. So I worked mostly in Sweden, but I also made some movies in Germany and in Japan.
In also. Japan?
Yes, in Japan.
For Japan directors, Japanese directors.
Oh, yeah, yeah, oh. Yeah. So tomorrow they are going to show Sex and Fury, for example,
okay.
Here yeah. At the festival. Yeah. So you can come. And
yeah, of course. Can you tell us more, for our listeners, can you tell us more about your movies that you're in? What
yeah.
kind of movies, what do we have to expect?
Well, when I started, I was about 19 years old.
Yes.
And I was still in school at that time.
But we're talking about the 70s?
We're talking about the 70.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, 70, yeah. Yeah.
But I took some free time without asking any teacher. And yes.
In Sweden, that's possible.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And then I went up to Stockholm, and it was an American production called Made in Sweden, as you also could see in the beginning of this festival. And I was there in 14. I talked English in that, really. And so it began to be an American export product. And it went over to US. It was never shown in Sweden.
Oh, okay.
It went over to US and was on those cinema, drive-in cinemas.
Ah, drive-ins, yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
So Made in Sweden actually was rather well-known in US, as well as Thriller.
Thriller, yes.
Yeah. I think Thriller is more well-known in US. It's always 74
yes.
when they have cut Thriller into pieces in Sweden. They have banned it twice, yeah. And then the director, Bo Arvid Benius, he sold the movie to US.
Yes.
And it went over and they have two versions. The hard and violence one,
yes,
and the soft one,
yes,
and the hard they call Hocker's Revenge,
yes, revenge, yes,
yeah, and the soft one they call Thriller.
One Eye.
Yeah,
ah,
exactly.
They call her One Eye,
yeah.
Yes.
But both of those movies went on also on this drive-in cinemas. So,
but only in US.
Only in US,
yes.
Because in Sweden they show it only for 1 week. And
1 week?
But 1 week!
It's very strange because all the Scandinavian countries were very liberal at that time.
I know.
When it comes to sex and violence.
Yeah.
But still, the movie got, not banned, but had a very small release.
Yeah, yeah. They made those kind of movies that I was in for just a few years. 73, they let the censor free.
Free, yeah.
Yeah. And after that, the movies, because I was playing mostly against real actors,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And they showed the movies on real theaters. But after 73, they divided it up to mainstream movies and porno.
Yeah, of course.
And I, when I was small, I not small, but I
young.
When I started this movie career, I promised myself not to be in porno.
Oh, okay.
I would like to stop there. Then I know many say, well, you have pornos in thriller. But it's like this. In the 17th, a couple was on stages in Sweden at very luxury clubs.
Yes.
And they have intercourse in front of people.
Yeah.
And they who makes this porno in thriller, they call themselves Romeo and Julia.
And I really?
I think that's great. It's a great name.
Yeah?
They put those scenes into trailer. And I'm not sure he told me they were going to put porn on.
Okay. The hardcore inserts.
I didn't know about that.
But when did you know that this happened?
Well, I knew it many years later.
Really?
Because I didn't saw trailer until... it took many years before I saw the movie.
How did you feel about that?
Well, at first I thought, well, I was ashamed and I thought this wasn't good.
Yeah.
But I tried to explain to people it's not me.
Yeah.
Now I think it was genius of him to put those scenes into the movie because it explained why... Madeleine or Frigga, as he's calling in the US, is so violent and have this hate inside her.
For the revenge.
The revenge,
yes.
Why she did. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I love the way how you portrayed it, the hatred, because you're obviously not talking in the movie because of obvious reasons. I don't want to spoil for people who haven't seen the movie yet. But it's very talented to bring the hatred with just a mimic of your body language.
So that's very funny because at that time I was so well known in Sweden and I have also been in Penthouse and Louis. I was well known as a nude model. And he had made a child movie and he lost all his money. For a child movie, and then he was eager to get some money, and then he said, "I'm going to do the most violent and bloody movie ever." And then he thought, "Well, who is the most famous girl in Sweden?" And it was Kristina Lindberg at that time.
So, awesome! Yeah. Nice.
So he picked me, but he didn't thought that I could say the lines. So because of that, he made me mute. And I think that's the genius thing, really. Because think about to listen to a movie that are more than 50 years old.
Yes.
And she's talking Swedish all the time.
Oh,
like
this, of course.
You couldn't stand that.
No, get it,
And for me, it was very good that I could express myself with my face and my body and my one eye.
One eye, of course.
Yeah. So...
The thing I'm most curious about, not most, but that I'm curious about is, you probably got that question millions of times, but how did you process actually your life at that point when Kill Bill came out and Quentin Tarantino exploited your character in Hollywood before and after Kill Bill? Did you find a... a change in the environment for you in the movie world?
Yeah, of course I did. But when Kill Bill came out in 2013, I wasn't aware that he has picked from thriller. I didn't hear it from anyone, so I didn't know.
Nobody.
No, I didn't know about
that. But
when you
saw the movie, you were like...
No, I didn't saw the movie. I have seen Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I didn't know who Tarantino was at that time. So when I met him in Stockholm in the Glorious Bastards, when they called from the company, then I realized that this must be something. So I met him. I took all my DVDs and photos with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wrote a lot of autographs for Tarantino. And we talked for half an hour or something like that. And after, I think, well, I have to ask this guy about his autograph as well. I'm sitting here. And I understood the people around me, they were just, wow, Tarantino. It was like that. And then I brought him this DVD, and he wrote, thanks for the inspiration on that one.
And that's when you realized?
Yeah.
That's when you realized, yeah, I'm yeah. the one I patched.
Yeah, yeah. And then I had a magazine with an interview. I took write something, and he wrote, I'm your biggest fan, Tarantino. So I have them home now, close to my yeah. heart. Really,
that's an awesome story.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. A story. So it was very generous of him to tell people about that he had picked those kinds. And also tomorrow they show Sex and Fury.
Yeah.
And he also picked some scenes from Sex and Fury. So if you want to see what Tarantino pick,
yeah, yeah,
you can
of
look
course.
At Sex and Fury tomorrow.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, yeah. Great.
Yeah, so like Thriller is a very, yeah, it's an exploitation movie, obviously, but it's a very
dramatic,
nihilistic movie without yeah. any comic relief. How did you experience the shooting? Because obviously it has a vile vibe.
Yeah.
How
did you process that?
Yeah, were you comfortable yeah. at the set?
Yeah, as I got all things that I needed for making the movies, really. I got karate lessons all the time.
Okay.
I got how to handle weapons, so it looks real. And I didn't have a driver license, so I had to drive, learn how to drive. And we used also blanks and real ammunition.
Because you were 19 at that point.
21.
21, yeah. Okay, yeah. 21. Yeah.
And we used real ammunition. So I have heard, I don't know if it's true,
okay.
that he took life insurance for me. Yeah.
He was
a little bit cynical, I must say.
A little bit?
A little bit. Yeah. So, it happened a lot during when we made the trailer, yeah. really. Yeah. See, it was an interesting. So I always have that in my memory for the rest of my life.
They took life insurance for me.
Yeah, yeah. Why not? Would you do a movie then?
Awesome. Insane.
Yeah. So how do you experience the festival?
Off-screen. This yeah. festival.
Oh, it's marvelous. It's so many kind people, really. And and all people that are coming to my movies are marvelous. I used to say I have the best fans in the world. They are I just love them.
Thriller was sold out twice at Offscreen this year. That must be incredible to experience.
It's so fantastic.
Yeah.
And this is the biggest. They have never shown so much movies of mine during a festival as now.
Yes.
So it's marvelous. Yeah.
Awesome. It's great to hear.
Yeah, and the yeah. movie still lives on and on, because I know a lot of younger people that are also starting to explore Thriller One Eye and the other movies. So there's a new generation of people, younger people,
yeah.
who also still are into.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, young people are coming. And yesterday it was a man, he came with his little baby on. He said, I want you to write something for him, but he's not going to see the movie until some years above.
Obviously.
Yeah. Oh. So it's
incredible.
It's a lot of those kind of things. And it's fantastic. I would probably have an eye patch on my gravestone.
Probably, yeah.
So you're still traveling all around the world doing other film festivals? Still,
I have been around the world. I have, of course, been to Japan, Brazil, Argentina, Italy, a lot of country, really. And I love it.
And you are still planning to do lot more festivals in the future, or?
Yeah, not as I know right now, but I have some conventions. So I was in the U.S. recently.
Okay.
And you know, it was so many people at Schiller Theater,
big
convention.
Big convention, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And how about the acting? Is that something you still want to do, or do you say like that's in the past?
No, not like that. But I think I have done the best, really.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. But it depends. It depends.
If somebody comes up with a great role. With a great opportunity.
Yeah, if it fits me
if it fits you, yes.
Otherwise, I'm satisfied with.
But the life you have as
life you're leading
right now. Yeah, awesome. Yeah,
so.
Okay.
Great. Incredible. Christina, thank you very much
thank you
for
very
this
much.
Conversation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're going to switch Christina with Vanessa.
I'm going to take a quick picture.
Yeah, of course. Stel je maar hier. Stel je maar hier, Vanessa. We gaan ondertussen een beetje verder praten, terwijl Anthony...
Ja, Anthony is er precies vandoor met een mooie dame.
Anthony is er van altijd, hè? Vanessa, welkom terug bij Klokzak 12.
Hallo, blij om terug te zijn.
Hoe gaat het?
Heel goed.
Ja?
Heel goed.
Hoeveel dagen offscreen heb je er al op zitten?
Oei, ik kan niet meer tellen. We zijn woensdag begonnen. Ik weet niet welke dag we er weer zijn. Ik ben
zijn
een beetje
nu
de tel kwijt.
Dus woensdag is 4 dagen ver, zijn we. Ja. Hoe is dat nu toe gelopen?
Heel goed. Zoveel uitverkochte voorstellingen. Het is echt zot. En Christina is de beste. Dus,
dus is een heel, hele heel
leuke
persoon,
madame.
Hè?
Ja, echt. Ja.
Zalig om te horen. Wat heb je nog allemaal op de planning staan? Of wat heb je tot nu toe gedaan? Zal ik dat eerst vragen? Met offscreen.
Oh, het is,
de eerste 4 dagen. Woensdag beginnend tot nu zaterdag.
Ja, woensdag was het dus onze openingsfilm. En dat was een Belgische film, Chien de Vie.
Okay.
Life's a Bitch. Die komt trouwens op 20 maart in de zalen. En dat is een film die bestaat uit 3 verschillende verhalen die telkens draaien om een hond.
Oké.
Okay. Ja, en het is echt
een
heel
anthology
zwarte...
Dan,
ja, het is okay. een anthology, okay. telkens met een hond als basis, als uitgangspunt.
Oké.
Okay. Hele zwarte humor, maar echt heel grappig. Om maar een voorbeeld te geven, het eerste verhaal bijvoorbeeld, gaat over een man en zijn buurman heeft zelfmoord gepleegd. En er blijft de hond achter. En om indruk te maken op zijn buurvrouw, zegt hij van ja, ik zal de hond wel adopteren. Maar die man begint te geloven dat dat hondje, een chihuahua, die Mescal noemt,
ja?
dat eigenlijk een gezant is van de duivel en dat hij hem wil vermoorden.
Oké, okay. Goeie premise. Oké, okay, dat is wel zalig. Die komt nu in de zalen of wat?
Die komt nu in de zalen, 20 maart.
Ah, oké, okay, is wel cool. Alright, cool. Zalig. Oké, okay, goed. Dat was uw openingsfilm.
Dat was de openingsfilm. We hebben 2 voorstellingen gehad, alle 2 uitverkocht.
Holy shit.
En het leuke is, de cast en crew was hier en de regisseur, Xavier Serron. En normaal ben ik nooit dat ik aan het fangirlen ben over acteurs of zo. Dat heb ik nooit. Maar ze hadden wel een van de hondjes bij, die evil chihuahua. En op dat moment had ik echt zoiets van, oh, dat is Mescal. Ik was helemaal aan het fangirlen.
Dus als het dieren zijn, dan wel. Niet alleen katten, gewoon dieren in het algemeen.
Ja, duidelijk
awesome.
Wel.
Oké, dat was ondertussen is Anthony er ook terug bij, want Anthony is juist een foto gaan trekken met Christina zelf.
Twee
foto's? Kijk eens aan. Ja. We waren juist offscreen aan het overlopen tot nu toe. Donderdag
zijn we begonnen met een Griekse film, een nieuwe Griekse film, Embryo Larva Butterfly.
Dat is van de regisseur van...
Nee, dat is niet gekend. Niet van Yorgos Lanthimos, okay. Maar het maakt wel deel uit van die Griekse Weird Wave, waar dat Yorgos Lanthimos dus ook deel van uitmaakt.
Is dat die ene film uit 1990 met die incest en kotsen?
Nee, dit is echt een nieuwe film.
Maar welke film heb ik ervoor?
Jij bedoelt...
Island of Death.
Dog...
Nee,
Dogtooth.
Ah, Dogtooth.
Ja, Dogtooth.
Het is ook kunnen dat ik die voor heb.
Ja,
heel veel incest, heel veel kotsen. Zwart-wit ook.
Ja.
Ja, daar heb ik die voor.
Oké. Maar het is in hetzelfde genre. Als
goed genre.
Ja, en ik moet zeggen, die Griekse weird wave van iedereen kent alleen eigenlijk maar die Yorgos Lanthimos. Maar uiteindelijk, het is echt een soort van stroming in de Griekse cinema die heel belangrijk is daar. En het is vooral zijn films die vooral in Griekenland bekend zijn en niet zoveel in België of omstreken. Maar Ginder is dat heel belangrijk, vooral eigenlijk sinds 2010. En ooit wil ik daar wel eens iets rond doen op offscreen, maar
ja, echt zo'n Grieks thema.
Maar
heel het Grieks ding is eigenlijk ook gewoon hier in het Westen qua film minder bekend of zo, heb ik het gevoel.
Maar dat zijn echt films die gemaakt zijn voor offscreen, hè?
Weirdness.
Echt weirdness, sexploitation, super vieze horror, alles dat je kan inbeelden. Rare films, vreemde, ook dingen van kwaliteit, maar die gewoon raar zijn.
Ja, maar die ook onderbelicht zijn hier in het westen van Europa.
Ja, Griekse films, buiten dan een paar...
En Jordi, zijn favoriet film Island of Death?
Ja, voilà.
Oh man, ja, nee.
Ik vond die vreselijk. Ik vind een van de beste exploitation films
ooit gemaakt.
Ik vind die fantastisch. Ik kan die elk jaar opnieuw zien. Dus ik had die dan met heel veel verven aangeraden aan Jordi. En ik had heel veel verwacht, heel veel high hopes. En hij vond die vreselijk.
Er is niemand is likeable in die film. Er wordt een jong dat is geitenpedofilie. Heb je ooit over geitenpedofilie gehoord? Ah wel, dat is een Island of Death. Geitenpedofilie. En er is niemand... Mijn grootste probleem is...
En dat is
niemand
nog maar het begin.
En ja, dat is ook...
Dat is nog maar de eerste 10 minuten.
Ja, pas op. Hele thema, ik snap het ook. Het komt ook mooi full circle. Hè. Het klopt, hè. Ja. Het klopt qua scenario. Klopt het perfect. Het probleem is, ik vind niemand like.
Ik denk ook niet dat de bedoeling is in die film.
Dat vind ik moeilijk dan om je hoofdpersonage te volgen. Dat is gewoon mijn ding met Island of Death. Dus het spijt me dat ik Island of Death, dat ik de geitenpedofiele film niet goed vind.
What a shame, Jordi.
Ik ga niet kunnen slapen vannacht. Ik ben wel psyched voor de andere Griekse weirdness films. Hangt er vanaf hoeveel jonge geitjes daarin verkracht worden.
Geen enkel.
Dan ben ik al iets meer... excited.
We weten nog altijd met de hoeveelheid urine zit. Dat is ook een...
Dat is ook een ding, dat is waar. Dat is ook een ding, inderdaad. Nee, maar goed, dat was dus donderdag. Had je die
en dan hebben we... Wacht, hè, wat hebben we daarna gehad? Language of Love, dat is een documentaire. Zweedse documentaire die eigenlijk de hele Zweedse porno-industrie op poten heeft gezet.
Holy shit.
Dus het was eigenlijk de bedoeling om zoiets meer... educatief te maken, tussen haakjes.
Maar, educatieve porno.
En het leuke daaraan is ook van, zoals Richard Gramfors, die van Cultpix verteld heeft, het is eigenlijk het christelijke en Jezus die het bijna porno gemaakt heeft, want in het begin wilden ze het gewoon educatief houden.
Ja.
En uiteindelijk was er een van de mensen die moesten spreken, van de wetenschappers en zo, die zei van nee, ik ben Christian, ik vind dat we niks mogen faken, we moeten alles echt tonen.
Wat?
En zo is eigenlijk de Zweedse porno echt ontstaan.
Dankzij christenen.
Ja, inderdaad. Dankzij het geloof.
Good old Catholics.
En dat is zo'n succes geweest, die documentaire Language of Love in het buitenland, dat hij uiteindelijk een hele stroming van Zweedse porno.
Dat is iets wat ik totaal niet verwacht had. Dat had ik totaal niet verwacht.
Ja. Okay. En die Zweedse porno, zo is het begonnen. Maar dankzij Zweedse porno zijn andere landen begonnen met ook hun censuur
aan te passen
en veel meer seks in films te tonen.
Dankzij de Scandinavische oh shit.
Dus eigenlijk hebben we dankzij de Scandinavische landen hebben we eigenlijk porno.
Eigenlijk
basically.
Wel, voor een stuk
zij
wel.
Zijn eigenlijk de founders geweest van heel het porno gegeven.
Om toch te zeggen van, kijk, we kunnen veel meer doen.
Ja.
Want uiteindelijk, die pornografie en de seks, op elk moment was dat heel normaal in Zweedse bioscopen. Je gaat daar gewoon met je familie naar de bioscoop. In bijna alle films was seks te zien.
Maar
en niet
expliciet.
Gewoon brave seks. Hè?
Okay. Oh shit. Ga dan eens met je kleine Dora kijken.
Ja.
En ook, het is dan met seks begonnen. Maar uiteindelijk omdat, dachten ze echt, de censuur wordt losser. We gaan ook proberen grenzen te verleggen. Wat dat dan ook uiteindelijk...
Maar nu praten we jaren 70? Of?
Ja. Okay, eind jaren 60, begin jaren 70.
Okay.
En dan begon je natuurlijk ook...
Want ze zijn wel echt...
vlak van andere films dingen
heel
te hebben.
Heel ver gegaan, hè?
Als je dan kijkt naar bijvoorbeeld Sinful Dwarf, die we eind van de maand in onze B tot Z gaan spelen in Cinematheque. dat is wel een van die films dat je denkt van oké, eigenlijk is er niet veel te zien in die film, maar die is gewoon verdorven.
Ja.
En waarom? Hoezo? Waarom?
Ah, kom kijken. Als jij denkt Island of Death, je al choqueert. Ik denk van...
Sinful Dwarf is
Sinful Dwarf.
Maar het choqueert me niet. Ik vind gewoon... Het is zo...
Het is pervers.
Ja, en zo, ik heb niks met iemand daar. Zo. En, maar oké, wat is de premise van Sinful Dwarf?
Letterlijk de titel.
Je hebt een dwerg die vrouwen kidnapt, ja. Die drogeert, die mishandelt. En die echt hele vieze gezichten trekt. Ja. Van lekker.
Ja, ik voel
je daar misschien ook meer bekend onder Teenage Bride of Runaway Bride of zoiets?
De tweede titel ken ik niet. Dwergen in of zoiets Zweeds.
Dat is iets anders, ja. Een van de allereerste dvd's die ik ooit ownde.
Sinful Dwarf.
Ja.
Oké. Okay. Ja,
en eind van de maand in Cinematheek. Zeker komen kijken. En we spelen een double bill dan met ook Sinful Dwarf en In the Sign of the Virgin. Twee films voor de prijs van één. In the Sign of the Virgin is meer pornografisch, maar we gaan wel de meer softere versie tonen.
Ah, oké. Okay, wat ik wou je zeggen? Eigenlijk zit je dat nu eigenlijk gewoon letterlijk seks in de maand naspelen. De seks in de mas van vroeger. Ik bedoel, porno. Ja. Zijn nu echt, jullie met Oski zijn nu echt gewoon letterlijk porno aan het laten zien op groot scherm.
Ja, maar niet alleen dat, hè. Maar
nee,
dat
bedoel,
ziet
maar
er, het maakt deel uit van het programma. Ja.
Is dat ook om een of andere reden een hommage aan de stad Brussel? Aangezien Brussel vroeger toch wel bekend was voor de vele seksbioscopen?
Nee,
en
dat was niet echt de bedoeling. Dat was niet echt de bedoeling.
Het is gewoon voor exploitation.
Nee, zelfs niet om echt te tonen van wat dat er eigenlijk, hoe dat allemaal ontstaan is. Die erotische film, hoe dat de evolutie met censuur was en zo, waar dat is ontstaan. Want heel veel mensen weten dat eigenlijk niet, dat in die landen ontstaan is.
Ik wist dat ook niet. Maar ik vind het interessante eraan is wat je zegt, ook zo van die documentaire dan over het Zweedse ding is en hoe dat ver. En dan snap ik dat ook wel, dat je zo zegt van kijk, dit is de documentaire, het Zweedse documentaire over de porno-industrie, hoe dat ontstaat en hoe dat naar het westen geëvolueerd is. Maar dan wil je ook eens af en toe een filmpje of twee laten zien die in die documentaire voorkomt of zo. Ja. Hè? Van, je kunt zo bijvoorbeeld een documentaire over The Room laten zien, maar dan wil je The Room ook laten zien.
Ja, uiteraard.
Zo,
voilà,
zo.
Dat is de bedoeling.
Ik snap dat concept. Ja, ik ben mee. Okay,
Maar er zijn mensen hier die rondlopen die er nog veel meer over kunnen vertellen dan ik. Onder andere die Rickert Gramforst van Club Super 8 en Cult Pix.
Ja.
En Julian Marsh van Erotic Film Society. Dus we gaan misschien proberen om die erbij te halen.
Ja.
Want die weten echt nog 1000 keer meer dan ik over het onderwerp.
We hebben hem juist heel even mogen spreken. Een zeer aimabele man die het ook goed kan uitleggen volgens mij.
Absoluut.
We hebben 10 keer moeten zeggen, hou dat voor de podcast.
Ja, hij heeft al heel veel anekdotes verteld op een heel kort tijd. En we zeiden van, dit is podcastmateriaal.
Ja, dat is goud waard wat dat hij te vertellen heeft. Echt
en
waar.
Wat staat er nog op programma, op offscreen? Want deze aflevering komt nu maandag al uit. Dat is overmorgen komt hij uit. Wat staat er nog op programma voor offscreen nu, de week komende?
Dus het grootste deel zijn inderdaad die Scandinavian Sins. Maar volgende week hebben wij ook een hommage aan Kazehuke Hasegawa. Dat is een Japanse regisseur van onder andere The Man Who Stole the Sun en The Youth Killer.
Okay, ja.
Maar die heeft ook een Directors Company opgericht. Dat is een productiebedrijf die echt in Japan ook films zonder censuur op een eerlijke manier wilde maken. En dat heeft echt voor heel vooruitstrevende films gezorgd. En we hebben ook een hommage van 4 films aan Piotr Sulkin. Totaal niet bekend weer in onze contrijen.
Nee,
maar dat is een Poolse filmmaker. En die eigenlijk heel politiek getinde en apocalyptische films maakt.
Oh.
Ja. En ook heel apart. Ja.
Heeft hij in de jaren 80 ook zo'n post-apocalyptische film gemaakt?
Ja, Golem bijvoorbeeld. Gaga Glories to the Heroes.
Dat was hem.
Ja.
Oké, heel interessant.
Nice. Oké, heel cool. Hè.
Het is echt, dit jaar is het echt een filmfestival om op ontdekking te gaan, vind ik. Veel films die mensen niet zullen kennen, van op voorhand, maar dat ze wel, als ze het gaan zien, zoiets gaan zeggen van hey, dat is wel een leuke ontdekking. Of dat vond ik heel interessant.
Ja, inderdaad, want het thema op zich is ook niet zo super bekend. Ik had ook gezegd, zo Scandinavische exploitation is een beetje een thema, denk ik. Hè? Klopt. En dat is echt, ik heb ook gezegd, dat is een gat eigenlijk een beetje in mijn cultuur. Maar ik denk ook dat dat echt totaal geen mijn... Ik denk, vorig jaar had je Monster... Robots had gebogen. Ja. Dat is natuurlijk veel bekender dan Scandinavië.
Ja, maar dit is een gat in iedereen zijn cultuur, hè? Zelfs voor ons.
Maar wel succesvol, want er is wel keiveel volk, hè?
Absoluut, ja. Absoluut.
Het is wel heel succesvol.
We hebben al bij de voorstellingen echt mega lange rijen zien staan, dat mensen aan het wachten waren voor de zaal binnen te kunnen. Dus fantastisch, hè? Ja.
Ah, maar ik zie dat Rickard hier zit. Misschien moeten we eens met hem praten.
We're going to do the switch. Rickard with Vanessa, the switch. You can come here.
Dank u, Vanessa. Yes. Merci.
Rickard, welcome in our podcast.
Thank you so much.
You can introduce yourself to our listeners if you want.
Yeah, if you have 30 minutes.
I have a lot of minutes.
I'm from Sweden. I've been running a DVD company called Club Super 8 for about 25 years, specializing in releasing Swedish exploitation cult movies, vintage films. So we started with VHS, then DVD, and now Blu-ray. We also are a record company, so I release my own bands, albums there.
Oh, damn.
What kind of genre?
It's heavy metal. I had a band with my son called Father and Son. Obviously.
Good name.
And then after that, we actually had a band called Trigger Warning, okay. Which I think is kind of fitting.
Nice.
And recently, I released an album with my sort of solo project, The Haze Office, which was the censorship in Hollywood.
Okay. Oh, nice.
But we also we released some books. So I made a coffee table book with vintage Swedish exploitation posters. And the book is called Do You Believe in Swedish Sin? Because that's the English title of a Swedish film from the era. Okay. It's a big, big book. Weighs 1.7 kilos.
You're like the Stephen Thrower from Sweden.
Yeah, so I released it 2 years ago, and in May my new book is coming out.
Okay.
The same size, and it's Swedish posters for international exploitation films. So it's blaxploitation, spaghetti westerns, porn.
That came out in Sweden, the posters.
Yes, or, yes.
And so did you use the cinema posters from the cinemas?
From cinemas,
So it's not the VHS art.
No, it's from 60s and 70s. So it's the original posters. I'm a big, big collector. So it will contain 400 posters.
Holy shit.
And they were all distributed by small independent companies.
Where can we find the books?
We have a web shop. So it's clubsuper8.com.
Okay.
And in the new book, I also realized that nobody had been writing about these small companies, and because they didn't release quality film, they released shit films, basically. And then I realized, doing that research, that they were really all hunted by the censorship. So most of their films were cut by the board of censors, especially spaghetti westerns and martial arts movies. So I was really excited to do that research. So that's part of what I'm doing. And then apart from that, I'm running the global streaming platform cultpix.com, which is a passion project that started during the pandemic, because we also saw that DVD sales are going down rapidly. So we thought this was the way to go.
So you hopped on the train.
Yeah. And we also have a lot of really good friends among DVD distributors in America. So we're good friends with Synapse Films. We're good friends with Something Weird Video. And now we're working with Severin Films. We're working with Vinegar Syndrome.
And you can... Those movies from those companies you can watch on your streaming on Cultpix.
Yes. Yeah.
Cultpix, just to be clear for our listeners in Belgium, everybody can...
It's global. It's global.
And we have we've been up and running now for almost 3 years, so we've uploaded 1,400 films already. So the basis is our own collection of Swedish exploitation. Yeah. So it's about 200 films, but then we have films from all over the world. We have contracts with 10 national film archives in Europe. So we have a lot of East European 60s and 70s cult movies. Beautifully restored. We have all films by Herschel Gordon Lewis. We have all films by Doris Wishman. We have a lot of like Barry Mahon.
This is incredible.
It's a very, very big mix. And we started out by our credo is we will never ever censor anything.
Everything is uncensored.
Yes, and we don't have any trigger warnings. we believe we have an intelligent audience.
Yeah. This is that not can Disney
make
Plus.
They can make up their own minds. So fuck trigger warnings, basically. And it's only $66 per month. And you can watch everything.
You can watch everything.
That's and also, we really like to contextualize our content. So we have a newsletter every 2 weeks. And we have a podcast called Culpix Radio, which now has done 76 episodes so far.
Incredible.
And it's all in English.
Oh, awesome.
And it's also on Spotify?
It is, yeah. It's everywhere where you can find a podcast, yeah.
And the movies on Culpix, are they subbed in English?
The English language films are as they are. We try to have English subtitles for most of the films, but it's very expensive.
Yeah, of course.
We are now looking at AI and machine learning to be able to, you know, do sort of automatic if we can do them good enough. And also, speaking of that, some of the films have been restored in 4K quality. We love to have those. Sometimes they are only available in a shitty VHS rip. We will absolutely put that up as well.
Yeah, and, wonderful.
And we realized now, we just did an annual report of like the top 20 films of last year. And we thought that we have, you know, we have the geeks, we have the nerds that want the excellent, perfect quality. But among the top 10 list are like really shitty, scratched, bad masters of films because the content is what's interesting, not the image quality. So we're not like catering to the sort of wanking hardcore collectors.
Yeah, I get it.
And also, we're also, you know, part of the culture wars now. It's like I'm on a many Facebook groups where we see guys are like, I don't stream, I only collect. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I collect 35 millimeter, I collect 16 millimeter, I collect Blu-ray, DVD, VHS, Laserdisc, I go to the movies, and I stream. What's the problem?
Yeah.
You know,
I want to watch a movie.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I feel about it.
When you have the movie, you can watch it. Doesn't matter on which medium you have the movie.
Not really. I mean, if you want to keep it and be sure that you have it, it's great to collect. But also, I mean, Club Super 8 is still releasing films. So we have a bunch of interesting Blu-ray projects. One being the Christina Lindbergh film, Anita, Swedish Nymphet, which now finally has been restored by the Swedish Film Institute.
Holy shit.
Because when they have millions and millions of euros to restore film. And obviously they started out with Ingmar Bergman.
Yeah.
And then the classic silent movie directors. And then the highbrow directors. Yeah. And then being the country we're in, they had to restore all female directors' films, however shitty they are.
Really?
In the name of equality.
Ah, okay.
So Sweden has a thing, because that's, I guess, a little bit prior in his time, that the because they are female directors, they need to be restored first.
Yes, yes.
And which area are we talking about when this happened?
Well, the thing is that there were no Swedish female film directors until the 60s. But they are trying to sort of create an equality that was never there.
Okay.
There you are. But on the other hand, now that they've done all of that, they have to reach down at the bottom of the barrel and
start doing
our film. Yeah. So they have restored Terror in the Midnight Sun, which is out on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
They have restored two of the Language of Love sex education films from the 60s and 70s. Anita, and now it's like 7 or 8 films, and we want to release them all over time.
Okay, cool.
So we're really into that.
Damn, that sounds actually really awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, and we do bonus, you know, behind the scenes documentaries, and we have trailers and stills and whatever.
Yeah, because before the podcast, you were you were talking about an interesting story about a guy you met in France. And that you want to have him as a commentary. Please tell this to our audience.
Yeah, this is one of the big moments of my life. The backstory is we have released 5 of Christina Lindbergh's films on DVD.
Yes.
And I started interviewing her back in 2005. And we got the opportunity in 2006 to go to Los Angeles to the Egyptian Theater and do a weekend of Scandinavian Sin. And since then, she loved traveling. So we have traveled together, me as an unofficial agent. And we've done 30 international trips all over the world. To Japan, to South America, to North America.
As an unofficial agent, yes. Just like that.
And also, every time I've been negotiating, I said, you know, it's a necessity that I come along and you have to pay for my airline ticket and my hotel too.
Holy...
So I've had a very good run, and I'm very good friends with Christina. And
something
we really
to be proud of.
We really know each other, and So we travel well together. And also, I did a Q&A for Thriller because I know which buttons to push to get you know the right answers.
Yeah.
Sorry for the long sort of explanation, but we went to
Have to say sorry about that.
We went to Paris 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Because Le Chat qui Fume. The distributor were releasing Thriller, so Patrice invited us, and Christina was doing a signing at a shop, Hors Circuit in Paris, and she was setting up her table. There were lots of fans there, and in the corner of this shop was a little guy standing in a trench coat, and like I didn't really notice him, and no one noticed him, and then he came up to me very quietly and said, "Hello, my name is Gaspard Noé." And I was like, "What? What the fuck?" And he was like, "I really want to tell you, I really love your poster book. And when I was in Stockholm, I also bought the Swedish film, The Doll, a 60s film that is actually shown here at the festival as well. And I really love that movie." And I was like, "I'm not worthy. My God, this is so big." And he wanted to be incognito. And then he said, "I'm sorry, I have to leave because it's the football finals tomorrow. So I have to go now. I won't be able to listen to this." And then the fans saw him. It's like, "Oh, Gaspar, you have to take a photo with Christina." So he did.
That's incredible.
That's awesome.
Incredible. Yeah. And that was a moment.
I bet that's a high moment.
Yeah. But I mean, during our trips, it's been crazy. We went to Fantaspoa Film Festival in Brazil, which was great. And the other guest of honor, apart from Christina, was Roger Corman.
Oh, so, nice.
So we had dinner with Roger Corman.
How
just like
he?
That.
Oh, it was great. He was. I think he was 92.
I think he's a sweet man, right?
Yeah, he's sweet, but also super political.
Oh,
like
really?
Super liberal, super anti-Trump. Okay. Very, very evocative, you know, really outspoken like that. And I mean, we met all of these wonderful people. We went to the Grossman Film and Wine Festival in Slovenia, which is legendary. And
I know, I am from Slovenia.
Yeah, yeah. And the guest of honor was Sam Furstenberg, the guy who made American Ninja and Electric Boogaloo, those kind of films.
Oh.
The canon movies.
Yeah, so it's been such a bonus just traveling with Christina and meeting with all of these people.
Damn,
and all of that just because of the love for shitty movies.
Yes.
passion about
and
it.
And then I realized today, because I was part of this roundtable panel with these university professors here, and I come from a fanboy position, and then I realized after having been a collector and a fanboy and then starting to release films, hang on, I'm a film historian.
Yeah.
You know, what happened here? And then I'm starting to make books about it. And I'm, I'm actually researching and you know, sort of...
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like researching. It doesn't feel like work because of the love and the passion.
Yeah, I mean...
It feels like a hobby, but...
Yeah, it is. And I mean, it's all based on love. Yeah, I was never in it for the money at all. And then also, during the pandemic, I had a long-standing day job for 20 years at an organization... involved in digital cinema. So I was responsible for the live broadcasts of opera and theater from like the Met in New York and from the Bolshoi and from National Theater in London. So very, very highbrow art.
Yeah.
But doing this on the side. But during the pandemic, I was on a furlough because all the cinemas were closed in Sweden. And I realized that I can't go back to an office anymore. So I created the book. And I created CultPix, and then when it was time to go back to the office, I decided to retire because I was 62, and then so I quit So now I'm financed with my pension, yeah. And I can do whatever.
Whatever
I like.
You want.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as I don't lose money.
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah.
me and my business partner, Patrick von Sichowski, who's a Swede who lives in London, we're doing Cult Picks, we're doing Club Super 8, we're doing books, releasing films on Blu-ray. And also, regarding Cult Picks, we do theme weeks. Okay. Of everything, so it could be directors, it could be actors, countries, genres.
So when you have the streaming service, you just check in, and then you have a team week from.
Yeah, but everything is available all the time.
Yeah,
but
okay.
But we upload one
just to get in the picture. So yeah. To get different kind of movies in the picture.
Yeah,
yeah.
So we upload one film every day.
I'm convinced.
Every
me
day.
Me too.
I'm going.
Hallelujah.
Tomorrow, you're a subscriber.
Yeah. I'm serious. I'm going to subscribe to Cultpix tomorrow.
Yeah.
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 And it's
only €6.66 for a month. That's nothing.
I say it's a McDonald's meal.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're supporting Satan.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Which is also.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, I have the travels with Christina to all of these festivals and conventions. We meet these exploitation movie fans all over the world. And the amazing thing is that a lot of them are very young.
Yeah.
They are like punk or goth or metal or, you know, whatever.
Alternative.
Yeah, straight, gay, vegans, whatever.
And but inclusive.
and super inclusive. So I would say that is the most tolerant audience in the world. There's no bias. Yeah. There's no racism. So it's a kind of a religious feeling. And speaking of our Lord downstairs, Christina was invited to the Kanazawa Film Festival in Japan some years ago, and we went, and the guy who was our guide had a Japanese guy with red hair and dreadlocks.
red hair and dreadlocks.
That's something you don't see every day.
And he introduced himself, so, "Hi, my name is Yoshiki Takahashi, and I'm the only member of Church of Satan in Japan." And we said,
"It's an honor."
And we said, "Of course you are, honey."
Incredible.
Oh. So that's
something you experience when you go when you do stuff like this.
And you meet them in Canada, in Brazil, in Argentina, in Scotland, in Norway. No matter where you go, and they're all nice. And as Christina had she was a centerfold, and she made 25 exploitation films, but never porn, of course. You could imagine there would be some sleazy guys.
Yeah.
But she has like the most respectful fans ever. There has never been any hanky-panky. No people like that.
No, like creepy guys.
No, nothing like that. No, more like guys coming with flowers. Where she's signing photos and stuff like that, and also I'm responsible for her fan page on Facebook.
Okay.
This is a fan page run by Club Super 8, but there are messages like every second day. "I love you. I love you," and I explain, "This is a fan page."
I have a guy in the 60s that you're talking to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not pretending to be that 13-year-old girl. But it's pretty funny actually that the fandom it's so big and so respectful. So the worst thing that ever happened to us during a signing was in Gothenburg in Sweden.
Okay.
And this is the absolute worst. A guy came up and said, "Hi, could you please sign this photo to my horniest fan?" And Christina said, "No." And that was it. Basically.
But if that's the worst, then...
That's not much to complain about.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Ricard, can you tell us a bit more about what you're doing here at the Offscreen Film Festival? Why you are invited and what you're doing here?
Definitely, yes. So
also, one moment, you want to drink something?
I'll have a beer.
You want a beer?
Please.
Which beer?
This one is good. It's Bitter XX.
Okay, let's try that, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, so obviously Christina was invited as the guest of honor.
Yes.
And I've been talking to Dirk about it for some time. And since the theme was Scandinavian sin, Club Super 8 we actually have the worldwide rights to a lot of films. So we bought them from the old producers, the outright. So I have provided 11 films to the theme.
You have provided 11 films for the festival?
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yes.
But the thing is, what I'm wondering about is you have the rights about
it? Yes, we have the worldwide rights in all media.
You bought the rights?
Yeah. And all the producers are dead now.
That's incredible. Because isn't that, in my head, it's very expensive to have rights about of movies.
Yeah, it is. It is. But we did it. This was back in 2000. Well, in the early 2000s.
And in the early 2000s, those movies weren't, how do I say it, popular or...
Not really. I mean, we started out releasing films on VHS.
Yes.
And the inspiration was the our friends at Something Weird Video, because we did two film festivals with Mike and Lisa from Something Weird.
Okay.
Back in 1998 and 1999.
Okay.
And then we saw that they had released a lot of cool movies. They said, we'd like to get in touch with the producer of Terror in the Midnight Sun, this sci-fi movie.
Incredible!
So we got in touch with the guy, and we made a deal. And then we found Inge Ivarsson, this old producer who had made 25 sex education films and porn films.
Yes.
And we made a deal, but we made like a revenue share deal with him. So, and he said, no one wants these films. I'm a real estate agent in Spain now. But, you know, knock yourselves out. I don't care.
So actually, you got them on the cheap.
Yeah, because he didn't believe in it. And then during a number of years, we paid him a percentage of all the sales. So in his old age, we sort of gave him a little, you know, a silver lining on his cloud with money.
And it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, he was expiring, you know, he was getting very old.
Yeah.
So he... we asked if we could buy the films from him, and we did. It was kind of, it was a lot of money, but it was worthwhile. And we were very good friends for 15 years. He died about 7 or 8 years ago, 97 years old.
Holy shit.
Okay. And he was born in 1919. And he made his first film in 1942. So I was literally sitting at his feet, just taking in film history.
Yeah, of course.
He had the whole span of Swedish film history. And then after he died, his relatives asked me to come to the funeral. So I got the honor to lower his urn into the ground.
What?
Yeah. So I was
actually just because you're a movie fan.
Yes. Yeah, that was also that. And also I got to learn... I know Bjarne Vibenius, who made Thriller, A Cruel Picture.
Yeah.
I tried to negotiate with him for the rights for 20 years. And he also always was like, I want $1 million.
That's a lot.
That kind of thing. And then Vinegar Syndrome released it.
Yeah.
We had started working with them with Cult Picks with some films. So Joe Rubin at Vinegar, he called me up and said, okay, so we have finally made a deal for Thriller, and we'd like you to make the documentary for the Blu-ray.
What?
And I'm like, okay, I can talk to Christina. No, you will interview everyone that was involved in the film. So from having done nothing, I found myself being a director of a 45-minute documentary. So it's my documentary, which is on the release from Vinegar, the German release, and the Le Chat Qui Fume release.
Just like that, it happened.
It's finally paid off.
Yeah, right. It takes time.
Yeah, but still...
You get to
still,
know people and...
Yeah, of course, it's like a snowball effect or something like that. It's like I started with this passionate about... and then you became the director of a documentary of a cult movie.
Yeah. And then I'll tell you another story. And then you're going to say, you're lying, man. You're just...
Try me.
You're just making this up. But I, as I always say, if I talk loudly and look you in the eye, it's true. But I know the guys at Synapse Films in Detroit really well, and they released some of our films in the U.S. And they got in touch with me. This is a long time ago. And said we're working with this young Argentinian director, whose name is Adrian Garcia Bogliano. And I'm like, okay, cool. And yeah, and he made a bunch of horror, low-budget horror movies, really cool ones, and he's super talented, but he loves Christina Lindbergh.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I started emailing him, and was really, you know, brother from another mother, as they say.
Yeah,
really
okay,
nice
so
guy.
You got a click?
Yeah. And I told him, I'm playing in this band called Father and Son. And he said, oh, that's cool. Send me some songs. And then he said, I'm going to put one of your songs in one of my movies. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Sure you will. Yeah, that's nice. And at the end of the day, he did that in 2015 in his film Scherzo Diabolico. So a song of ours called Anno Domini Satanicus was in his film.
Of course.
Yeah. And to make a long story short, his film was being released in Sweden. And I said, you have to come to the premiere. You know, I would love to meet you, you know, face to face. And he said, I'd love that. And this was in January 2016. After 3 days, he emailed me. He said, Rickard, I haven't been able to sleep. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Why? I have to make a movie with Christina. I have a screenplay, and I'm coming in June. Let's make a movie.
2016.
Yeah. So from January to June, I got the screenplay. I translated it to Swedish. I got the financing together from friends and family and other DVD companies.
What?
I found the crew. I did the casting. I found the locations. And we started shooting the film. So we made the film in like 2 weeks in June of 16. It took 2 years to post-produce it. Yeah. And then it was released in 2019. But what I'm most proud of is, apart from being the producer and making the sandwiches, is I composed and played the soundtrack, the score for the whole film.
The whole film?
Yeah.
And which film is it?
It's called Black Circle. And it's been released by Synapse Films in the US. There's a Mexican release, and there is a Swedish release on Blu-ray.
And is it also on Cultpix, or...?
It's not, because Cultpix has, apart from not censoring films, we are only about vintage.
Ah,
so
yeah.
So the films have to be older than 30 years.
Okay.
That's
okay,
it. Okay. Unless it's modern documentaries about old films.
Old films, yeah.
Of course, yeah. Okay.
So, but that's our rule. Yeah. And actually, a director emailed us and said, I really love your website or your streaming platform.
Yeah.
And I made a film in 1994. And we said, yeah, you know, that's too modern. But can we have a
1994
look?
1994 is too modern.
And we said, could we have a look? And he made this wonderful film. His name is Robert Flanagan. He made this wonderful low-budget film called 4 O'Clock in black and white on 16mm in New York. And it's like a film noir.
Okay.
Okay.
But he really got us because it had a review saying this is like a mix of Jean-Luc Godard and Ed Wood.
That's a very interesting mix.
Yeah, and he loved that himself.
Salt.
Yeah, so we said, yeah, we can bend the rules. You know, it's like the Groucho Marx quote, you know, those are my principles. If you don't like them, I have others.
But the other movie, Black Hole, was it?
No, Black Circle.
Black
Circle,
Black Sun. Where can, like, our listeners, where can they find the movie?
Yeah, they can find it on the Synapse Films website, for sure.
So Synapse released it?
Yeah, on Blu-ray, yeah. With my soundtrack as a CD.
Holy... yeah, Synapse does everything great.
Yeah.
So... for a boutique label, yeah, okay, that is incredible. That is on the Synapse.
So that was the story, and I mean, nobody earned any money from the film, but we got some really good actors in it, and we traveled. Me and Christina traveled in 2019. We did 6 film festivals with it, so it took us to Buenos Aires, it took us to Brazil, to Scotland, to Slovenia,
holy shit,
to Italy. So we had a really good year, and then COVID hit.
Yeah, of course.
But we got that year, which was wonderful.
Incredible.
You know? And the thing is that Adrián, being a you know, he was born in Spain but lived in Argentina and now lives in Mexico. He has this Latin vibe to his films. which means that in Argentina and Brazil, people just love the film because they really got the vibe.
Latin vibe also.
Yeah, but yeah. It's a horror movie, but it's more like a, we call it a psychedelic horror movie.
Oh, yeah, but okay.
Because it's really weird and it's about like...
A fever dream.
Yeah, something but like it's that. Also, the theme is pretty funny. It's about twin sisters who find an old hypnosis record. And if you listen to it while you sleep, you're supposed to get famous and, you know, prosperous. But it takes out your evil twin that becomes real.
It sounds like a fever dream.
Yeah.
Like fever dream movie.
And so Christina is the woman who made the vinyl album in the 60s.
Oh,
and
she's
the only one who can help them. So they have to make a reverse exorcism and put the evil twin back into the body. So that's sort of the
that's a great premise.
The elevator pitch for that. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. So for tonight, you introduced the like a trailer reel.
No, I was over at the Cinematheque and introduced Anita Swedish Nymphet with Christina.
Yes.
And yesterday we did a Q&A for Thriller. And in this afternoon, I was in a roundtable panel with these three university researchers
who did
lectures, which was really, really cool.
Really interesting.
Really
yeah.
interesting and cool, yeah.
Awesome.
So, that's...
Ricard, it's really, really... It's really nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too.
You are... And you have so much information, and it's incredible. The thing is, about this whole Swedish thing that you promote... That's a black hole in my film culture,
right.
I would say.
Yeah.
But Vanessa also told me it's not only for you a black hole, it's for like most people in Belgium. The Swedish sexploitation, exploitation is a black hole in everybody's film, almost everybody's film culture here in Belgium.
Yeah.
And she also told me that the porn that was created in the late 60s, begin 70s in Sweden was like a predecessor for porn or like explicit stuff mainstream in the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's incredible.
And the thing is that with this old producer, Inge Ivarsson, we met, first he did the sex education films, then he did some softcore films, but when he went into hardcore porn, he based all of the films on classic novels.
Right, like
so,
what? Like?
Like Justine and Juliette, De Sade.
He based his porn on those. Okay.
Maud Flanders became Molly. Bellamy is a famous old novel. And Flossie is also a famous sort of erotic novels from you know, the 1700s.
Okay.
In a modern setting. So I
also
say,
more explicit.
Yes. Yeah. And with penetration. The whole
thing. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But as I always say, very loosely based on the, on the novels, you know. But still, they wanted a cultural finish on it, so to
speak. Okay, of course, I get it.
Then, of course, America and Germany and France made low-budget films, just grounded out of the low-budget films. And then it was over for the Swedish porn by 74. Because...
Well, in 74, it was over for Swedish porn?
Yeah, I mean, then it became, you know... direct-to-video sort of thing in the early 80s.
Yeah, but why would it be over then?
Because no one wanted to make, like, shitty low-budget porn. They wanted to have a standard. They wanted to shoot on 35mm.
There's a quality.
Yeah. But I would also say that off-screen has done something beautiful. It's not just sex movies.
No, of course.
So they have Terror in the Midnight Sun, which is a Swedish sci-fi movie, and I'm introducing that tomorrow. We have The Doll, which is a beautiful, like, sort of a horror movie. We have Victor Frankenstein, which is based on the novel, really good. And we have Champagne Rose is Dead, which is like a paranoid Cold War spy movie. And they're all Swedish.
Can I ask a little bit more about the Victor Frankenstein movie? Because I'm a Frankenstein nerd.
Okay, yeah, cool.
There are a lot of movies who called Victor Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And what does this make special? Or
it was made. I think it's in 1980.
Okay.
And the monster is played by a really culty Swedish actor called Per Oscarsson, who's really a weird guy. And the Baron Frankenstein is played by the guy who was in a bunch of Kubrick films and was Kubrick's right hand for a long time.
Okay.
And it was shot in Ireland. But it was a Swedish.
The Swedish Frankenstein movie was shot in Ireland.
Yeah. In English.
In English.
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so and is it like the most famous Frankenstein movies of obviously the original Frankenstein with the Bride of Frankenstein,
yeah,
and those two combined are almost the book of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
How is it with Victor Frankenstein?
Victor Frankenstein is very true to the novel.
It's more than novel.
It follows it very closely. Yeah,
in one movie.
Yeah, and this director Calvin Floyd, he made another horror documentary called In Search of Dracula, where he has Christopher Lee as a narrator.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so it's about the Dracula myth and the Vlad Tepes myth. So Christopher Lee is Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
And he's Dracula and he's Vlad Tepes in this film. In like reenactment.
Incredible. And,
three for the price of one.
We're going to release a Blu-ray box with all of Calvin Floyd's films.
Wait, when you say we are going to release...
Club Super 8.
Club Super 8.
We'll do it. And then we will release them on Cultpix.
Yeah, but Club Super 8 is also going to release the Blu-ray.
Yes.
By the way, it's an awesome name for a company. Club Super 8.
And you know why?
I'm a VHS collector and I'm very...
I can tell you the name because it started out with a friend of mine starting to collect Super 8 films and showing them on walls at parties.
Ah, okay.
And then we started screening 35mm prints, but we still kept the name. So that's how it, you know, now it's a brand.
Yeah.
We can't do anything about
that. No, it's actually a hobby, not gone wrong, but like...
Expanded,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's very exciting. And I know you want to talk to more people, but finally I have to tell you about an incredible discovery we made for Cultpix, which also will be a Blu-ray box on Club Super 8. When I made my poster book,
yes,
I found a couple of posters I got really curious about because they had Japanese text but also a Swedish title. And it turned out after long research that Nikkatsu, the Japanese company who made these Roman porno films, softcore films, came to Sweden in 1971 and made 6 movies in Sweden.
For the Japanese market?
For the Japanese market, because Sweden made movies that were popular in Japan, but being a small country, we couldn't satisfy the demand.
Yeah. Okay.
So they said, hey, let's write the screenplays and bring a team to Sweden and shoot the film. So these 6 movies, we managed to negotiate them. They are so strange. They were only shown in Japan in the early 70s. But if you can imagine a Japanese screenplay about Swedes played out by Swedes. So it's like the Japanese prejudice about Swedish sexuality, but played in the roles, they have Swedes in all roles.
Okay.
So it's a culture clash, a massive culture clash.
Yeah.
And it makes it so funny because it has all the Japanese elements, like girls getting raped and liking it. That wouldn't fly in Sweden.
No.
And in one of them, there's suddenly a rope bondage. And I'm pretty sure we were not into that at that time. And one of those films, one of these restored films, are being shown here at
the festival
tomorrow night at 9:30. Yeah, and I'm introducing that too.
That's awesome.
And those films had some pretty famous Swedish actors. And it said in their contract, this film will never be shown in Sweden.
And is it true? It's never shown in Sweden?
Yeah.
Until...
We're going to change that now.
You're going to change that. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
There you go.
Incredible. Ricard, thank you very much for this conversation. You can plug everything you have again for our listeners if you want.
Absolutely. Cultpix.com, global streaming platform, $666 per month or $59 per year. And we have a huge web shop at clubsuper8.com. with DVDs, with t-shirts, with coffee mugs, with Blu-rays, tons of cool stuff.
And poster books. The poster books are there too,
yeah.
Yes.
And also we released 2 porn cartoon books as well. from a vintage Swedish porn cartoon.
Awesome.
Awesome.
And my next book will be out in May.
And also on the website available.
It's clubsuper8.com. Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for this conversation. And have a great night here at Offscreen.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye. Anthony, we gaan even afsluiten.
Ja.
Wil ik nog even zeggen. Ik heb het er straks al in de auto over gehad. Ik heb het ook tegen Vanessa gezegd, die nu verdwenen is.
Ja, die moest de bus halen.
Ah, ze moest de bus halen.
Openbaar vervoer.
Okay. Anthony, nu gaat het een beetje heel intiem klinken. Nick, zet u er even bij. Ik ga even wachten. Ik ga even wachten voor de luisteraars. Maar Nick weet het eigenlijk nog niet, denk ik. Dit is onze zevende anniversary show.
Mag ik drukken?
Ja, kies maar één.
Ik weet niet waar ik gedrukt heb.
Ja, die wordt hoger, maar ik denk dat deze is.
Oké. En als we het nog niet gehoord hebben.
Met Klokzak 12 bestaan we 7 jaar.
7 jaar.
Proficiat, man.
Begin maart. Dank u wel, Nick. Begin maart, ik denk 6 maart 2017, hebben we de allereerste Klokzak 12 aflevering gereleased. Dat waren dan alleen Lorenz en ik.
Ja.
Toen, en nu zijn we 7 jaar verder. 2024. En ik ben het vergeten te promoten en te pluggen en whatever.
Zo zijn wij, dat is onze charme.
Ja, maar vorig jaar, de 6e verjaardag, waren we ook vergeten. Ja. De 7e verjaardag hebben we nu gevierd met Christina, Vanessa en Ricard.
En Nick.
Ja.
Okay. Nick, de filmfan die overal altijd bij is.
Dus stuur een gele briefkaart naar Klokslag 12...
Nee, nick.doema@gmail.com.
Uw zusters in straat, 666, Kwaad Mechelen. Voor alle felicitaties.
Goed, dat was weer plezant.
Dat is goeie.
Ja, dat is goeie. Offscreen Film Festival, het volgend jaar.
Ja, en we gaan nog een beetje naar de piepshow kijken, denk ik. Hè.
Zeker.
Dag mannen.
En dat was het voor deze Klokzak 12 aflevering. We hopen dat jullie net zoveel plezier hebben beleefd als wij. Vergeet niet om ons een like te geven op al onze social media kanalen. Abonneer je op onze podcastkanaal via Spotify of Apple Podcasts of waar je ook naar Klokzak 12 luistert, zodat je zeker op de hoogte bent van nieuwe afleveringen. En ga naar onze Patreon pagina te vinden op www.patreon.com/klokzak12. Daar krijg je toegang tot exclusieve content, waaronder minstens 2 extra afleveringen per maand, video's, stemrecht voor toekomstige onderwerpen, als eerste nieuwsupdates en nog veel meer. Word lid van onze groeiende horrorfilmcommunity op onze privé-discord, exclusief toegankelijk voor onze gewaardeerde Patreon-ondersteuners. En we eindigen met een cheesy one-liner. Het is altijd Klokzak 12, ergens in de wereld van podcasting.